You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests. Well, I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is be ready. In order to be a successful real estate investor, especially in the multifamily area, you need to know something really important. In fact, one of my guests recently, Nitzan Mosri, pointed it out, that you need to be prepared, because being a real estate investor means that you are running multiple marathons at the same time and trying to win and cross the finish lines all at the same time. I thought that was a great analogy, and I really think that that is true. Also, as I'm speaking to you, this is March 24th, 2017, that this podcast comes out. It is an extremely competitive market right now, because it's really a great time to buy. And that's why it's so crazy out there. There are still many good deals out there to be found. There's also the impending increase in interest rates. There's cap rate compression nationally and at many local levels. There are many economic factors that are occurring right now as we adjust to economically with the Trump presidency. And there's also lots of institutional money out there, large organizations and companies that are buying right now that have the funds to pay top dollar for properties. So you put all this together and you realize that this is one reason why there's so much activity going on right now. And if you're going to participate, you need to be ready. The marathons that are going on at the same time, for example, are first that you are seeking, okay? You're looking for deals, talking with brokers, referral sources, networking, looking online. Some are even doing direct mail. Without a deal in hand, it's hard to go to the next steps. You've got to look for that deal. So once you get potential deals, then you're evaluating, you're underwriting deals, you're working the numbers to see if it really is good. Does it meet your criteria? You're constantly looking also at potential markets while this is happening. Then you're leveraging. You're making offers. You're submitting LOIs, which are letters of intent, or even signing sales contracts, and you're negotiating terms and doing a lot of things at the same time as you're looking at these potential areas. And while you're doing this, you're also trying to grow and maintain your funding sources. So your investors, you're trying to find new investors, trying to grow and communicate with the ones that are already interested in what you're doing and investing in your potential deals. You're talking to bankers and mortgage brokers and trying to nurture and grow those relationships. You're also trying to align with partners, possible JVs or sponsors for some of your deals. So all of these activities are happening at the same time as you're ready to purchase that property. Part of it, again, as I mentioned, is the seeking part of it. Your brokers are your key contacts for deals. Everyone I've ever talked to, that has been the case. Your broker is going to be the one to supply you with the best deals and the most frequent a supply of them. So you're always nurturing and working with your brokers. You're also, you know, talking to your referral sources, people on the ground in the areas that you want to invest in, people like property managers, realtors, agents, inspectors, bankers, other investors, and may even be doing direct mail. Reason I'm talking about this subject is because I had a firsthand experience that I want to share with you. You know, on this show, one of the things that we try to do as much as possible is share our mistakes as well as our successes, but our mistakes so that you can learn from those and possibly don't have to encounter the same challenges or at least the same problems. I got a call just a couple of weeks ago from a broker, and this is not just any call. This is what I call the call, the one you've worked so hard to get for the last year with a broker. I've been working on this broker for a while. He was the seller's broker on the 22 unit I bought in Indianapolis. And I liked the way he represented the seller and really wanted him on my side. So I pursued that relationship, started speaking with him, communicating on a regular basis. When I visit Indianapolis, I would meet up with him. We'd look at properties, you know, trying to get a good feel so that he knows exactly what it is that I'm looking for. And so as we talked for you know, quite a while and we started to communicate, he would send me deals and those deals, you know, I would take a look at, and some of them looked okay, but most of them aren't that great. And so I, you know, as I communicated my feedback on these deals, that would help to better position him so that he'd know what to look for and what to present to me. So anyway, as I mentioned, I got the deal. He called me with an off-market deal. It sounded almost too good to be true. It was 78 units. It was built in the 80s. They're a mom and pop owner, okay, which means that you know, maybe they're not as sophisticated at the market and things that are going on, so they tend to be a little bit easier to work with. The owner was the person that built the complex, which is pretty amazing. Very well maintained. I mean, they took extreme pride in this apartment building. Everything was in good shape. There really wasn't a lot to do in terms of cosmetic things, but maybe the units could have used a little upgrade to kind of bring them a little bit more up to date. The property was paid for completely. They had no mortgage. It was managed by a sister. I mean, it was really a family operation, and they're very picky about their tenants. They didn't care if a unit was unrented for months at a time, if it meant that they had to lower their standard in terms of the tenants that they brought in. So they had a real high level of long-term tenants there. The rents on top of that were significantly below market. It's also a good market where there's mostly upper middle class residential, very close to a university. There were just so many great factors about this property. The pressure part of it, though, is that there was a very small window of opportunity. And if I were to respond, I would have to do it before they posted it. They were already talking to a potential broker that would be listing this property. So there's this little window, and he called me right when that window was available. So what happened? Did I jump on this deal? No, I didn't. And the reason I didn't is mainly because I dragged my feet. I was hung up on a number of things. One, it was 78 units. I've been focused on getting 100 plus units this year. And so I kind of slowed me down, even though this is a great deal, almost a perfect deal. That was one of my delays. As I started to look at the numbers, I saw that there was large vacancies, and that was something that kind of hung me up. Now, I could have dug in and found that out quickly, but it took me a little while to deal with that and to find out exactly what the problem was. I found out that the reason why there were the vacancies is they didn't have a real incentive to fill it up. They had great cash flow already. It was an older aunt that was managing the property, and so she wasn't real motivated to go out and market to get and bring people in. There was a lot of other stuff going on in my life at that time, and there were a lot of distractions. So these kept pulling me away from focusing on this, sitting down, doing the numbers. I did not have all my investors in place, and I was in the process of setting up communication and a lot of other vehicles there to be able to work with and communicate with my investors. I was talking to a potential partner, and he had another deal going on at that time. So I was kind of waiting to see what was going to happen there. Well, nonetheless, the big thing happened when I got a call from the broker. Look, are you going to move on this? He's asking me, are you going to, you know, this is your time. And I wasn't ready. I went back to my partner. I said, look, we're going to lose this deal if we don't do something. And he's looking at some other factors. Within a couple of days, he came back and said, this is a great deal. What can we do? Let's move on it. By that time, it had already hit the market. The first day on the market, it had seven offers on this property. So it was done. I was over and out of the game. I just want to kind of share a little bit of my shoulda, coulda, wouldas, what I call them, that I should have done on this, is that I should have acted first. When I saw that it was promising, it was a good potential deal, I should have put together an LOI, a letter of intent. Letter of intent is not real binding. It just basically slows down the process. If you write it correctly, it just buys you the time you need to do to really do the final due diligence on that, and also to rally up your investors and other things. The bottom line for me, okay, in this, and the lesson that I learned was, when you are ready to buy, make sure you are ready. I mean, not just, you know, okay, I want to buy. No, have all of the things, get rid of the distractions, because this market may not be this good forever. So you got to be ready to move on a dime here. Be poised to move quickly, ready to drop what you're doing and to do that evaluation and to make that offer. And to make these offers as quickly as you can. I mean, you may not have everything together. Maybe there is a high vacancy factor. Get the offer out there if everything else looks good. Again, it's an LOI, and there are contingencies in your LOI that allow you to be able to move quickly and get out of it if it is a bad deal. Make sure all your ducks in a row. Let your investors know that you're looking now for a deal and that you may be contacting them, what kinds of deals you're looking for. Keep that communication going. Be talking with bankers and mortgage brokers. Know what rates are out there so that the banking side of this can have covered. Make sure your feet on the ground are also a part of this process. Your property manager that you would want to take on this property, your local attorney, your inspectors, the other people that would be involved on the ground there. Also, have that well-drafted LOI ready to go, where you just plug in names and numbers, and it's a good document. Maybe later we'll talk about what that is in another Fun Fact Friday. I learned my lesson, and it's one that of many that I will continue to learn as I seek to be an effective, successful investor. This is really where the rubber meets the road, where you take the action, and you got to take the action to succeed. You got to try. And even if you don't win every time, it's okay. It's part of that educational process. But the point is, move, take that action. And as you start to do this, you're learning, you're going to get that great deal that's out there. And that's really where the great stuff happens here, is once you get that property and it becomes successful and it starts generating the cash flow you want, and it just helps you to move that much more forward. Well, that's it for today. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here is going to be in the show notes section of the Old Dogs website. And that's at Old Dogs, spelled dawgsreinetwork.com/blog. That is it. Until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you. We'll be right back.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.